to bring revelation of someone's weakness, but to bring revelation of God's greatness. And how that then begins to touch our lives. I'd just like to pray for us as a congregation this morning. I ask you to pray for me. Father, will you come? Will you continue to come? Will you become and will you begin to minister in a greater way? For if we gather here this morning just as a bunch of religious people to go through a service or a ceremony, we've missed the point. We gather in the name of Jesus because we want you to move. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in your fullest measure here this morning. For the testimonies have been given already of your power and your glory, we say more. For each one of us who needs a touch of your power and your glory this morning, we say, will you come and will you do that amongst us this morning? You've already begun to minister into people's lives. And we say more. Not in my notes, but in my heart is this scripture. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Can you say that about yourself? Why? Because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of spirit of heaviness. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd their flocks. Foreigners will work their fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in the riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. What a promise. Who's it for? An elite few? No, it's for us, the people of God. If you're joining with us, you may not be aware, we're starting a series today called Nailing Our Colors to the Mast. And we want to nail some of the key things that make us who we are. No, that God makes us who we are. A people of God, expectant of God, and ready for God to do whatever God jolly well chooses to do with us, however he wants to do it, whenever he wants to do it, and with whom he ever wants to do it. And as he's chosen us, we're squarely in his sights. Last night we met as a group of men, and there was a great time of fun and fellowship and eating good food and just chatting and listening to different stories and hearing about different things that were happening. And Simon introduced me with only as Simon can, with his wonderful ways of saying things. And one of the things he talked about, he said, here's a man from Canada who's known for hunting elk in British Columbia. Well, actually, I've never hunted elk in British Columbia. I have hunted elk in Alberta, but never in British Columbia. So he was close. But the one thing about hunting is when you have a high power rifle and a scope, and I have used one, you want to get those crosshairs just right and be focused on the target. And you know, right now, right where you're sitting, whatever your circumstance, whatever you faced last week or will face this week, God's crosshairs are firmly on you. And I'll tell you what, he is a crack shot. He is a marksman. He has never, ever missed. Because he loves you. My topic this morning is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and living in the life of the Spirit. How you cover that in 20 minutes requires a miracle. when they said about John Lorcan this morning, you go over and while you're talking to him, he falls asleep. This is your opportunity while I'm speaking. But Jean, you stay awake. Jean came up to me this morning and she said, if you don't know Jean, Jean is my best friend and my great nemesis. She spans both ends of the spectrum, and she said, I wasn't going to come this morning until I looked to see who was preaching and thought I've got to be there. So thank you for coming, Jean. I promise you, you won't fall asleep. Okay? And the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It is one of the doctrines that sets us apart as a people of God. It's one of the things that we want to nail to the mast of what we feel is an important thing for every believer. And you might be sitting there saying, well, I've been baptized in the Spirit. This isn't really for me. Oh, yes, it is. Because it's not just, have I been baptized 27 years ago in the Spirit? But is there a fullness and a living in the fullness of the Spirit of God that is demonstrating a kingdom of God that is powerful and active and evident every waking moment? And, because old men dream dreams, I won't look at anyone. Oh, yes, I will. The old men dream dreams even as we sleep. Even the psalmist David said, even in my sleep you teach me of yourself. How often when you're last thing at night do you say, God, I'm going to sleep now. Will you fill my dreams with you? Or how often do I just look to fall asleep and just think, I'm just going to go into Never Never Land and I wake up the next morning and the dreams I've had I wish I hadn't had. And the cheese that I'd eaten I wish I hadn't eaten. But waking up and knowing God is speaking to you and is with you and is dwelling with you is all part of the whole doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The New Testament is an exciting recount of what the emerging church looked like. Especially the book of Acts. Here we find a church alive, vibrant, and full of the presence of the power of God. It truly was a Spirit-filled church. Both on a corporate and on an individual level. What made this band of divergent people, this group of religious God seekers, this growing band of people so wonderful and so powerful? Well, it wasn't a fancy building with a great PA and bands. That, nothing wrong with that, but that's not what made them the dynamic group of people that they were. It wasn't an articulate preachers with great PowerPoints that made them the people that they were. It wasn't lots of friends and social gatherings that made them the people that they were. It wasn't simply the best thing around that made them. There's nothing wrong with any of these. But this wasn't made them, that dynamic group of people who were known and were accused of being those who were upsetting the entire world. What a statement. It was made of the early church. They are upsetting the entire world. I'd like to be part of that. Ooh, I am. How about you? Looking out, we got people representing various different nations. Colin was there last night from South Africa. And friends from South Africa? Hong Kong, from Hong Kong. Rob's here representing China for us this morning. Simon and I are off to Serbia in a few weeks' time. Chris and I are going to Canada in a few weeks' time. We will go all over the world in the next few weeks. We were talking this morning about helicopters being flown from Australia. Now, that's a challenge and a half. I mean, it took long enough for us to get to Australia when we were in New Zealand in a jet plane, let alone, and the only comment that was made, boy, that'd be sore on certain parts of the body flying a helicopter that far. All over the world, this group of people who were often described as unschooled and uneducated people were changing every niche of society. And they were impacting from their courtrooms of pharaohs and kings, the shepherds on the hillside. Why? Just because they got the bit between their teeth about something new? No. It was unmistakably the presence and the fullness of the Holy Spirit amongst His people. Dynamically alive. That's what it means to be a church that is Spirit-filled. That's what it means to be a people who are full of the Spirit of God. Yes, saved by grace and love. A wonderful mix this morning. I love that concoction, that mix as was shared with us this morning. Pip was bringing it, and then Vincent added to that. What a wonderful picture in my mind. I love making mixtures and things. When I was a kid, I had a chemistry set. And there were the things you could do in the little book that came with it. Boring. There wasn't even an internet then to Google to see what I really could have done with the chemicals that I had. I went out and found a few more in the shed. I went and bought a few more. And my mom and dad came home one night and found me making gunpowder in the basement. I was making my own fireworks. I spent 2.5 hours making and blowing things up and doing things in our basement. Now, our basement was concrete walls and concrete floor, and there wasn't anything else. It wasn't like it was quite as dangerous as being really fancy and on the carpet and everything. But I was so pleased with myself that after 2.5 hours, I had not burnt myself or done anything that was really out of the question wrong. I had it all set up. I had a bucket of water, I had a bucket of sand, and I had a big thing with some sand and dirt in it that I was sticking things in and blowing them up. And I thought, I've made it. I've done it. What an exciting thing. All this happening. And then at the very end, as I was clearing up, I reached over and picked up the tin, metal tin, that I had dumped all of the burning things into. And I burnt the end of every one of my fingers on the tin as I picked it up and went to put it away. It was full of what was powerful. And it radiated with it. What I thought was just a bit of fun actually was a very powerful thing. Holy Spirit is not just a bit of fun. This is unmistakably the presence of God. I have loads of slides this morning. Don't get too panicked, because most of them are just verses. How wonderful is that? Trying to get through Scripture without the Holy Spirit is nigh on to impossible. Try and read through from Genesis to Revelation and not bump into the Holy Spirit around every corner is nigh on to impossible. He is the equal part of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who is He? He is not just some add-on extra. He is not just like buying a new car, and would you like it with automatic headlamps and automatic windscreen wipers, or would you like it without? Would you like it with leather seats, or would you like it without leather seats? Would you like special tires on the front, or just the ordinary tires on the front? No, He is an equal part of God. But yet, I often have to ask myself, do I treat Him that way? Do I consider Him that way? Do I live my life that way? It was kind of easy for the Jewish people to get their mind around God the Father, because that's their identity, Yahweh, the Almighty God. The early disciples in the early church, they were getting their head around Jesus. And they saw who He was, and they walked, and they talked, and they lived with Him. And they could see, and Jesus was teaching them, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Me and the Father are one. They got that. And the great confession that Peter makes, you know, you're not just another apostle. You are the Son of God. They were getting their head around that. But this whole dynamic of the Spirit was sort of a strange thing to them. It was like it was emerging amongst them, and the Spirit of God was coming upon them. And up till the day of Pentecost, the Spirit just sort of came and went. He came upon. He came upon people and they prophesied. He came into situations and situations were changed. He even came upon a donkey and caused it to speak the Word of God. He came upon non-Christian and Christian alike to do the works of God. But all of a sudden, there was this coming of a part of God that was equal to the Father, that was equal to the Son, who was a person in and of Himself, that was going to be the new dynamic of God's working and His heart and His passion for bringing His people to the place of dwelling with Him for eternity. Sometimes we have to build our theology and get it very clear in order to apply all that God has for us. And there's I don't know when the next Holy Spirit Word Plus is coming up. But can I encourage you, when you hear it's coming up, go to that one. Get to that one. The other ones are just as important, but get there. Learn about who the Holy Spirit is. It will increase your faith and your expectation, and it will do us good. He is the essential indwelling person of God who is with us constantly. He is the essential indwelling. See, as I said, the Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament, came upon. He didn't dwell within, He came upon. Even this scripture I just read. The Spirit of God is upon me. But as we come post-Pentecost, the Spirit of God dwells within us. And we'll see in a few minutes, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us richly. Not moderately, not adequately, not slightly, not temporarily, but richly. I love that word. You know, something is rich. We talk about rich chocolate. You ready, Bridget? Rich chocolate, rich tea, a rich flavor. And we begin to tingle when we think about that. Steaks coming off the barbecue last night, that rich aroma. There was a smell within that area of Colin's garden that wasn't just sweaty men. There was something that drew you. It's been a week of meals for me because it's end of term and my son turned 18. We had parties for that. And then we had a leader's barbecue in Sheringham at Richard's home. And as we drove up, it was raining. And the question was, is he barbecuing or is he grilling? Well, you know, as we got out of the car, the question was answered. We were down the street and the question was answered. Why? You could smell the rich aroma of the barbecue. And we were just taken in. And it was wonderful. It was a great time. So two barbecues in 2 days. Yeah. I'm almost South African. I'm Canadian. We know how to do meat as well. But dwelling with us constantly. This is not a come-and-go situation. This is a constant dwelling. And the baptism, the fullness of the Spirit of God is a constant thing. Whether we're on top of the world looking down on creation or whether we're in the pits looking up at creation. The Spirit of God is with us constantly. This is God in us. Ooh, does that sound familiar? Emmanuel, God with us. The Holy Spirit, God in us. What does the Holy Spirit do? He convicts of sin. John 16:8-11. When He comes, He will provide the world to be, He will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in Me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see Me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Here we have Jesus talking about the role of the Holy Spirit, and He will prove to the world that there's sin. There's judgment. He will also prove to the world there's righteousness. He convicts of sin. I am so glad that the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. It is not a negative thing. It is the most positive thing there is. Because dead in sin does not allow us to recognize sin. If you're dead, you recognize nothing. But the Holy Spirit comes and begins to reveal sin in people's lives. And that is the beginning of the revelation of God. I'm totally convinced that people have more difficulty dealing with the concept of sin than they have with the concept of a God. Lots of people will say, yeah, I believe there's a God. But when you start talking to them about sin and the consequences of sin, they don't want to know. There is no such thing as a hell. Why? Because they don't understand sin. Not because they might not believe that there's a God of some sort out there. Why don't they believe in the salvation of Jesus and the grace of Jesus? Because they don't understand sin. The Holy Spirit brings revelation, not just that we are sinners, but what sin is and what needs to be done to get rid of that, to deal with it. So we have that mercy, that love, and that grace that you talked about this morning, Vincent. They can see that. People, if they're covered completely with the gunk of this world, are blind not only to God, but to sin. In fact, they love sin. They think it's great. Because that's their very nature. They have a sinful nature. He leads us into all truth. What does the Holy Spirit do? He leads us into all truth. Not into some. Not slightly opens our eyes to a little bit. Gives us a peek of what's in the next chapter. Gives us a few hints and a little bit of a shove in the right direction. He leads us into all truth. Let me ask the question. How many of you would like to know all truth? We have a world who is desperate to find truth. They like to find facts. They actually like to find truth. But they cannot see the truth because they're blind to the truth. But yet the Spirit of God leads us into all truth. I want to know more of the truth. I don't know it all. My kids at school will prove that to you on a daily basis. And if you know me, you'll prove it on a momentary basis. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate. Who's He talking about? The Holy Spirit, to help you and be with you forever. That should be enough. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be with you. How is He going to be with you? By the Spirit of God, dwelling within us, revealing truth. He reveals the Father and the Son, 1 Corinthians 2:10. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him, these are the things God has revealed to us by reading the Bible and going to church. Yes and no. How many people do you know who read the Bible and go to the church but do not see the truth? It's the greatest deception the enemy has. It's the closest counterfeit he can possibly get. I'm not going to convince you with a 6-pound note or a 3-pound coin. But I might well get past you with a very good counterfeit of a 5-pound note and a 2-pound coin. The greatest deception the enemy has is people who will attend a church and will read a Bible and think that's enough. There is revelation that comes because of the Spirit of God. And let me ask another question. Do you believe you understand everything about God and understand everything about God and know everything about His ways and His purposes and His plans? If you do, please, will you pray for me? His ways are so much higher than my ways. His foolishness, if He had anything, is greater than any wisdom that I will ever have. The understanding of who God is and His purposes and His plans. Why do things happen the way that they happen? Why did Simon's and Anne's dishwasher break down? A frustration. An expense. Something that we wouldn't want to happen. But yet what came out of it? A conversation. Seed sown in a man's life. And it may well be that that man one day will give his testimony in front of a bunch of believers and say, well, it was when I was fixing a dishwasher. Next time your car breaks down, you need to call out the RAC or the AA, and it's chucking it down with rain, and it makes you late for a very important meeting. Pain, problem, difficulty, yes. Opportunity to bring revelation to someone by the Spirit of God. You know, how do we face life? If we face life full of the Spirit of God, He reveals all truth. He reveals the plans. He reveals the reasons why. I was sharing with the men last night about how to handle challenges in life. And I just went through my life story. And I've had loads of challenges in my life. Personal ones, family ones, practical ones, financial ones. We all have. How do we see what God is doing and weaving? How do we see the tapestry and the pulling together of all of those different colored strings? By the revelation of the Spirit of God who reveals the Father and the Son. He sustains us constantly and He sets us free. Romans 8:2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life and has set you free from the law of sin and death. It's through the Spirit that we're set free. And He gives us life. It's not an optional extra. It's a bit like buying the best sports car you could possibly buy and leaving the engine in the showroom. It might look good on the outside, But it will go nowhere. It will do nothing. It will depreciate in value. And eventually, you'll get so frustrated, even though it looks nice, you'll give it a kick. And then you'll be really upset because the bodywork repair on something of that cost would be astronomical. But the Spirit of God is there, and He sets us free. We are free this morning because of the grace of Jesus Christ. We are free this morning. We could celebrate communion together because of His blood and His broken body. Jesus said, as often as you do this, remember what? Remember me. Remember what I've done. Remember who you are. And remember the fact that my Spirit dwells within you and gives you even more revelation of your freedom. Those who are free, have been set free, are free indeed because of the dwelling of the Spirit of God and because of the law of the Spirit who gives us not just freedom, but gives us life. Not much use of having freedom if we don't have life. What good is a prisoner who's been set free, who sits then walks outside the gates of the jail and sits down and does nothing? He's not free. He's went from one bondage to another. We've been set free to be free indeed. Free of our sins. Free of condemnation. Free of uncertainty. Free of loneliness. Free of all the things that would hold us back and keep us from greater revelation of who God is and His purposes and plans for us because of the Spirit of God. He releases power to be witnesses. Acts 1:8, one of the most popular verses we know. And you and I will receive power when the Spirit of God comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Being His witnesses. What is a witness? Someone who bears witness. Someone who's seen, experienced, tasted, touched, felt, heard, looked upon, got involved with, known the goodness of it, and cannot keep it contained. And cannot keep it contained. Not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've met numerous Christians who are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would say their biggest problem is not they haven't had revelation of who Jesus is. They have not been impacted by the Spirit and the power of God in order to live that out and to let the world know. If you're part of this church and you've never been baptized in the Spirit, or it's a distant memory, there's so much more. He expresses Himself in us by His fruit lived out through us. Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is... This is like walking through Tesco's or Sainsbury's or Morrison or the fruit vendor or into your garden or into the most wonderful orchard there possibly could be and saying, I'll have some love and I'll have some joy and give me a basket full of peace and give me some forbearance and I want a couple tubs full of kindness. Oh, give me a few barrels of goodness. Ah, how about a couple kegs of faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? This is the Spirit of God living within, full of His Spirit, then living it out. This is actually the ingredients of a concoction for the most beautiful community of living people you could possibly get. It's called His church. This is not just to make you feel good. This is not just to have a little bit of a buzz or to be able to tick a few boxes. This is living it out with one another by the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. If you've come here this morning and you're not experiencing these through the church, it's not your fault. The church isn't getting something right. If this is not something that you, as a person, are emanating out to others, you need to be asking for more of the Spirit of God in your life. If you find yourself as someone who's critical, someone who's not full of love, who finds joy a difficulty, where's Cameron? Come here, Cameron. I loved his t-shirt this morning. This is Mr. Grouchy. Okay? I said I wanted to turn him upside down and turn that frown into a smile. Look at the smile on his face, though. You know, Cameron, I want to bless you because this morning Chris and I were talking about you and saying how much we've seen you grow in God. And you know why? Because you're seeing these things through a young man who's gone through a lot of difficulty in his life. because his roots are deep into God, and he's asking for the fullness of the Spirit. And he's up here sometimes leading worship and playing his guitar and worshiping God and being an example to a generation who do know nothing about God. Sorry if I'm embarrassing you.
That's fine.
I embarrass myself enough so I can embarrass him. But this is a young man who's got a heart after God, and he's running after God. And I say to you, Cameron, seek after more of this. Ask God for more of this. See if that doesn't affect your friends even more than the fun and the character that you already are. Turn this into those. But I'll tell you, he's wearing the t-shirt. How many of us, thank you, how many of us may not be wearing the t-shirt, but we're wearing it. We're living the opposites of these. And people know it. Come on, church. No other group of people on the face of this planet have the opportunity to be this fruit. Because the Spirit of God dwells within us. There should be, even in the most difficult times, there should be the smile of God upon our character. And in the way that we handle that. In the way that we deal with those situations. He empowers us to do miracles to glorify God, Hebrews 2:4. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. What was he testifying to? The verse before says the good news of the gospel. The power of God, miracles, and glorifying God. I was talking to Eddie, Val's husband, this week at our cell group, and he said he had some Jehovah Witnesses that he bumped into. And they were talking about the Holy Spirit. And said, oh, we believe in the Holy Spirit. And they go, oh, yeah. And what's he do? He makes us feel good. And Eddie said, well, what about the miracles and the healings? Oh, no, he doesn't do that. Allie, does he do that? How many of you know God heals? Because you've experienced it. You've seen it. You know, the wonders and the various miracles are by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is what a Spirit-filled community is about. The power of God breaking in, like last week. Stop the proceedings. We're going where God's going, and people's lives are changed. Because they encounter the power of the Spirit of God in a Spirit-filled church, in a Spirit-filled community made up of Spirit-filled people who are hungry for more. That's got to be at the heart and the thrust. This is something I am very proud of, in the right sense, to nail solidly to our mast. I do not want in any shape, corner, or part of our church just to be safe. I want this to be a dangerous place, because you and everyone who comes into contact with it comes into contact with the indwelling power of the risen Lord Jesus, endowed upon his church in absolute glory and wonder and expectation. And if that's not where your heart is, I'd love to pray for you that it would be. And if it is, I'd love to pray with you that there'll be more. He makes us bold. Acts 4:8. When then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. He did not say friends and close contacts. He was now going for the bigwigs. He was going for those who were dead set against him. Peter was probably an uneducated man, a fisherman by trade. He would have smelled a fish. My brother-in-law used to own a pig farm. I worked on it for a summer. I smelt like a pig for all of that summer, and probably for about 3 months, 4 months, 5 months afterwards. It doesn't get out of your skin by just going and washing. And they didn't have lovely showers and the creams and gels that we have now to get rid of that gunk. He makes us bold. How are we baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, let me say, it's for every believer. When Jesus said, you will receive, he was talking corporately and inclusively. First one needs a hunger. If you've been coming along to church for a long time, and you are saved by the grace of Jesus, and you know his love, but you have never asked to be baptized in the Spirit, you need a hunger for this. It is important, essential, Jesus-initiated part of his plan and purpose for you. He never anticipated that he would save us, and then we jolly well have to make our way through on our own strength through the rest of our Christian life. His plan, his perfect plan was, I'll provide the redemption, I'll provide the forgiveness, I'll provide the righteousness, and I'll provide everything that you need by sending one just like me to dwell within you, to help you to become more like me until I return for my spotless and blameless bride. That was his plan. And it's happening. It was not a wishful thinking. It's a reality. Understanding that the Holy Spirit is a gift, you will receive power, and it's ongoing. Ephesians 5:18 talks about, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And the verb there is a continuous verb, be being, ongoing filled with the Spirit of God. I'll tell you, I'm worse than a sieve when it comes to holding on to the Spirit of God and the fullness of God time, because I live in a sinful world and I deal with sinful people, and I have to give out and out and out. If I try and do it my own strength or on what I got yesterday, that manna will run out quickly. A man by the name of Benny Hinn, who I don't agree with all of his theology, but boy, I do agree with a lot of his passion. Every morning he wakes up and says, good morning, Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh. What's on your agenda today? Boy, that's a different perspective than I drag myself out of bed. Where's my cup of coffee? And oh my goodness, how am I going to get through the day? Which one is the best choice? We're just about there. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just going back to the beginning. What made this band of divergent people, this group of religious seekers, this growing band of people so wonderful and powerful? It was the present dynamic of the Holy Spirit amongst these people.